If you would turn over to 2 Chronicles chapter 14, and with God's word, bow together in prayer, asking Him for His help. Our Father, we thank Thee for these great words. If God be for us, who can be against us? We thank Thee for the promises of Scripture, and enable us, we pray, to hold on to them, make them ours. And as we come to Thy word today afresh in this place, we ask, O Lord, that Thou will make Thy word to live in our hearing. O Lord, it is Thy word that is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And we're trusting today in the power of the Word of God to come with blessing to our hearts and to work within us. And we pray that You would indeed make this a special verse this year. Make these words, O Lord, words we hold on to and often are reminded of and even often plead in prayer. And may it indeed be the truth of our hearts, the reality of our lives, that we rest on Thee. And in Thy name we bless us now as we come to consider these things. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We want to continue to consider these words this morning in verse 11 that we've taken as our motto text for 2018. And we're thinking about the whole verse, but we are particularly emphasizing those words, we rest on Thee and in Thy name we go. And we put the whole verse on that little card. But it is particularly that phrase out of the verse that we want to even memorize and keep before us. And I trust the Lord will bless His word to us, not only today and last Lord's Day as we thought upon this text as well, but even throughout the incoming year, that these words would often come back to us. They are part of a prayer that this man Asa prayed in the midst of a crisis. And we thought a little bit about this last Lord's Day, so we're not going to go back over too much of the detail, but there was this man, Zerah the Ethiopian, as mentioned there in verse 9 where we started reading, and how he comes out against the kingdom of Judah and against Asa, the king of Judah, and he sets his army in array, and he's got a great multitude of chariots, over 1 million chariots at his disposal, and he's there to wage war against the king of Judah and the kingdom of Judah. And it was at that juncture that this man Asa prays these words that we want to focus on. We rest on Thee and in Thy name we go. Now first of all, last time we thought about Asa's desperate need of divine help. And we pointed out that there was help that this man needed that he could find nowhere else. Only God could help him. And that is underscored in the passage and in this text of Scripture, that it was a particular kind of help that we needed. And we thought as well about why that help was needed. There's the acknowledgement there in verse 11 that he had no power against these enemies that came out against him. And you'll find that word, that phrase there in verse 11, with them that have no power. And that's acknowledging that to his credit. He didn't think it somehow demeaned him or pulled him down or make him to look less than he ought to be in the eyes of his kingdom and his people. And he acknowledges to the Lord that he does need help from God and he needs power from God. And we're applying these things to ourselves and how we need the power of God this year. How else can we live for the Lord? How else can we serve Him and honour Him and prevail against the enemies that come against us if we do not have the Lord's power and the Lord's help this year? And then we thought about the disturbance of the peace of the kingdom. And there's mention made down through this chapter about the rest and the peace that this kingdom enjoyed up until this point in time and how that rest was being disturbed by this king coming out with this great host. And the application, I think, hardly needs to be made. But, as we know, the rest and peace of the people of God can be easily disturbed, whether it's an individual or whether it's even a congregation. How division can come in among a people, and God's people get set one against another, and the devil can work, and he does work to those ends, as we know. Therefore, we certainly need divine help to counter that. And then we thought about the good work that was being carried on in the land. In those earlier verses, it tells us about the good things that Asa did, how he sought to take away the strange gods and the altars and idols, and how he sought to remove sin out of the kingdom, all of those good things, how he wanted to build up the defense cities of Judah.
all of those good things that he was involved in, and how all of this was going to be disturbed and hindered and have to be set aside for a period of time while he would have to go out to fight against this enemy. So there's a whole number of reasons why he needed divine help. And there's a whole number of reasons why we need divine help this year. And those are just some of them that are particularly applicable here in this portion of Scripture. Now, coming on to what I want us to think about this morning, I want you to notice here not only Asa's desperate need of divine help, but Asa's direct plea for divine help. Because in this verse 11, we come to see his prayer. Because in the face of this crisis that has come upon the kingdom, this great foe that has come out against them, Asa turns to the Lord and he seeks the Lord for his help. Now, evidently, he's a man familiar with the place of prayer. He's a man who knows the importance of prayer. He knows the value of prayer. And it is to the Lord that he turns to seek help from God. We might even be able to say that he was aware of the words of the psalmist. In Psalm 20, verses 1 and 2, it reads there, "The Lord, hear thee in the day of trouble. In the name of the God of Jacob, defend thee. Send thee help from the sanctuary, and strengthen thee out of Zion." Send thee help from the sanctuary, Psalm 20, verse 2 says. Well, isn't that what Asa is doing here? He's seeking the Lord. He's going to call upon the Lord, and he's going to call upon the Lord with one specific purpose in mind, that the Lord would send him help from the sanctuary. He's looking to the Lord for help. And you'll notice there in verse 11 of this portion, the opening words, it says, "Asa cried unto God." He cried unto God. That word "cried" there is a very strong word. It's not just a general word for prayer or a general word for calling upon someone, but it's a word that suggests strength. In fact, it's a word that is used to suggest passion in someone's soul and even volume as to how someone would cry out in a time of need. And I'll give you a couple of examples where that appears in the Scriptures and you can think about them. In 1 Kings 13, we read there about the prophet that came to cry out against the false altar that was built by Jeroboam in Bethel. If we just go back a generation or two from Asa, I said that he was the third king. Well, Jeroboam was the first king of Judah, after the first king of Israel, the northern kingdom, after the division. And you know that he set up the two altars, one in Dan up at the north and one in Bethel. And God sent a prophet to cry out against the setting up of the false altar in Bethel. And in 1 Kings 13, verses 1 and 2, you read there about the prophet who came and he cried out passionately against it. He was sent there from God with a commission to preach against that false altar that had been set up, contrary to what the Lord had commanded, for the Lord had said that the altar was to be in Jerusalem. But Jeroboam was afraid that if the people went down into Rehoboam's kingdom, went down to Jerusalem, that they had soon turned their allegiance back again to the house of Jeroboam and he would lose his kingdom. So he set up this altar in Bethel. But the prophet cried out passionately against it. That's the same word that is here used by Asa. Another example, maybe even more well known this time, Goliath. When you think of Goliath, 1 Samuel 17, verse 8, how he went out each morning and cried unto the armies of Israel, "Give me a man that we may fight," was the cry of Goliath. And you can think about Goliath crying out across the valley of Elah. There was the Philistines on one side, and there's Goliath coming out of the camp of the Philistines. There's the Israelites on the other side of the valley. And Goliath wants them to hear him, so he's crying out with all his might with regards to volume. And he's calling for Israel, "Send out a man that we may fight." This is exactly the same word that is used here when Asa comes to pray. So here's a man who's praying with passion in his soul. Here's a man who's even praying with volume. Here's a man who wants to be heard in heaven. And such is this crisis that has come upon his kingdom, that this is what it does in this man Asa. And that's why I say he's a man familiar with prayer, because he wouldn't be calling upon the Lord in this fashion if he didn't know how to pray. Help from God is obtained by strong pleading with God. And as we face a new year, individually and as a congregation, prayer is as important as ever it has been. In fact, more important. It's the most important thing of all in our lives, prayer, the place of prayer. Whether it's private prayer or public prayer, there's no more important thing this year. And if I can underscore that right at the very beginning of a year, in all of our hearts and minds, there is no more important thing, Christian, in our lives this year than prayer. And it doesn't matter what other else, what other duties and responsibilities we might have in the course of our lives, there's nothing more important than prayer in the Christian's life. The Christian needs to pray. The Christian needs to know what it is to call upon the Lord regularly and consistently. And that goes for the prayer meetings of the church as well. There's nothing more important than the prayer meetings. They are the powerhouse of this church, and they are important. And there are times when God brings crises into our lives to make us to pray. If we are not in the habit of praying, God can put us into the habit. But it would not be a tragedy if it had to be a crisis that would make us to pray. But that we would learn to pray from the precepts of God's word, the commands that God gives us in his word to be men and women of prayer. Would it not be sad if the Lord had to send a crisis to make you to pray, or to make me to pray? Prayer is important. And Asa knows that. He turns to the Lord, and he seeks the Lord in prayer. And I want you to notice here the manner in which he petitioned the Lord in this prayer. First of all, he believed that God was able to help him. Do you notice there in verse 11? He said, "Lord, it is nothing with thee to help. It is nothing with thee to help." He comes believing. This is believing prayer. This man comes to God and he cries out passionately, and he cries out even with volume and loudness in his voice, and he does it with this confidence that God is indeed able to help him. And he says that in his prayer. "It is nothing with thee to help." It doesn't matter how great the enemy is. God is able to help him, and God is able to help his kingdom. And because he knows that divine power is superior to all other form of power, for divine power is infinite power. There is no match to divine power. If God is on our side, if the Lord is working for us, if it is the Lord's power that is being put forth on our side, then there is nothing that can equal that. It doesn't matter how many of the enemy are arrayed against us. One with God is a majority, if God is on our side. We sang that hymn there at the offering time. Of God before us, who can be against us? Well, that's the spirit that is in us up here. He's of that mind. If God is for him, it doesn't matter who's against him. It doesn't matter how great this foe is. It doesn't matter how many chariots come out against the kingdom of Judah. If God is for Asa, and if God is for Judah, that's all that he needs. And he comes to pray with that conviction that God can help him. It's nothing. It's nothing with thee to help. The Lord is able to help us. And how encouraging it is to take that thought as a Christian every day of our life. The Lord is able to help us. There's nothing that we will face this year, but the Lord can help us. There's nothing that is too great for the Lord. There's nothing that is beyond the Lord. There may be circumstances beyond us. There may be circumstances that bring us to our own wits' end and to the end of ourselves. But there's nothing that will ever overcome the Lord. The Lord's never at his wits' end. The Lord's able to help us. It's nothing to the Lord. There's nothing that taxes the Lord. There's nothing that brings him right to the very limits of his ability or his power to help us. There's nothing in life that could ever do that. How much different that is to us. And oftentimes we are made to feel our weakness and how little strength that we have and how we need the Lord. Well, let us take heart. The Lord is able to help us. And it's nothing to the Lord to do that. It's nothing to the Lord. But then he also here, if you notice in this prayer, he believed that circumstances mattered not with God. Because it goes on to say, "It's nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power." Numbers make no difference with God. Neither do the conditions that the people of God are found in at any particular time. We may be facing numerous foes. We may be facing mighty foes. We may feel ourselves to be weak and feeble in the face of these foes. Circumstances matter not with God. That's Asa's conviction. And you can see surely why this man prevailed with God in prayer. Here's the conviction that he's praying with. He's not coming doubting these things. He's not coming with an if or a maybe, wondering, will the Lord help us? Is the Lord able to help us? This man comes with the conviction God will help us. And it matters not what the circumstances might be. And we might feel how weak and small and puny and insignificant we are. But then Asa said, "Lord, it's nothing with thee to help, whether with many or them that have no power." And the many were in the opposition side. Those that have no power were on Asa's side. He and his kingdom felt their weakness and their feebleness. But you notice here in verse 11 as well that he came pleading the cause of God. I think that's very interesting, that last sentence of verse 11. O Lord, thou art our God, let not man prevail against thee. He doesn't say, Lord, don't let man prevail against Asa. Or he didn't say, Lord, don't let the enemy prevail against Judah. That's not how he framed his prayer. He framed his prayer in these words, let not man prevail against thee. Well, if there was anything that was going to get God to arise and work and come to his help, it was surely this. He was bringing the Lord into this matter. He was making it clear, Lord, this is your battle. This is your conflict. This is your cause, your honor. This is a cause that has the glory of God at stake. Asa brings all of these things into this prayer, and he turns it into this. It wasn't a false bringing of the Lord into this matter. It was indeed the Lord's cause. It was indeed the Lord's honor that was at stake in all of this, because here were a people that had the Lord's name. Here were a people who were professing to follow the Lord. So it was indeed the Lord's cause, and it was indeed involving the Lord's honor and the Lord's glory. But Asa didn't put himself in there, neither did he put his king. And I think that's something that's always important for us to learn and to re-pray. It's not, if we want to see God answering, as we know, we must always pray for God's glory. We must pray for the Lord to work, that his name will be glorified. It is not so much about us. And here's a man who realizes that and understands that. And when he comes to pray, he says, Lord, don't let them prevail against them. Don't let thy cause go down. Don't let thy name be dishonored. And isn't that a good way to pray? To pray for the glory of God? To pray for the honor of God? I don't think there's anything that stirs the Lord more to work than to come to work than when we pray like that. Lord, is thy name. It's not our name. It's not our reputation. It's not our honor. It's not the name of our denomination that's important. It's thy name. It's thy glory. It's thy honor that's at stake. Surely that is designed to stir the Lord into common work. So this man prayed believingly, and he prayed prevailingly. And that's the type of prayer that we need. And may the Lord give us such prayer in our lives even this year, and underscore to us the importance of prayer. If we are to have the Lord's help, then we must pray. It's as simple as that. We cannot bemoan the lack of the Lord's blessing or the Lord's power if we do not pray. Asa prayed, and may the Lord underscore that in our lives. I want you to secondly today, but thirdly overall, I want you to consider here Asa's dependence upon God. You see, as a result of his seeking of God, we read here about how Asa went forth having confidence in God and with dependence upon God. And it's found there in these words that we really want to take as our motto text. We rest on thee, and in thy name we go. So as a result of his praying, here's his testimony now. Here's his testimony. He's got confidence in God, and he's also going to show dependence upon God. He says, we're resting on thee, and in thy name we're going. We're not going to hide in the city of Jerusalem. We're not going to cower in the corner. We're not going to run away and be afraid and just hope that the enemy goes away or buy them off in some fashion. Asa declares, we're going to rest on thee, and in thy name we're going. And the going is a reference to the fact he's going to go out to contend with the enemy. He's going to come out to contend with him. And therefore, here is a man who is showing confidence in God, and he's going with dependence upon God. And surely that's how we need to go through this year. That's how we just need to go through life generally. We need to have a confidence in God, and then we need to go out to face the foe with dependence upon God. Whatever that might be, whatever it is we have to face this year, whatever it is we might be facing this very day, we do it with a confidence in God and a dependence upon God. The Lord would have us to have such a spirit, child of God. The Lord would work such a spirit in us. He would have us to see the weakness of our own strength and our own inability. The Lord would have us to see that and acknowledge it and to forsake all dependence upon ourselves. And to go with this, we have confidence in God, we have dependence upon God. Now look at these terms, what it says here. We rest on thee. Here's Asa declaring his trust in God and his reliance upon God. He's looking to the Lord for help. He's confessed his need. He's prayed unto the Lord. Now he's going resting on the Lord. That word rest primarily means to lean upon or to lean against. I'll give you a very obvious example of it in the scripture that you don't even need to look up. It's so familiar. That word is used of Samson leaning against the pillars of the Philistine temple. And we all know the story of Samson and how he had been caught and his eyes had been put out, and then he was brought in. They were going to mock him. The Philistines thought they would have a laugh at Samson's expense. And Samson said to the young lad that was guiding him into the temple, "Let me feel the pillars." And in Judges 16:26, it speaks about Samson leaning against the pillars. Well, this is the very same word here that we have. It has got this idea of leaning. Figuratively, spiritually, it has the idea to stay or to rely upon. For example, Isaiah 50, verse 10, it says, "Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God." That word "stay" is exactly the same word read. Isaiah 50:10. I would even suggest you take it down or mark it in your Bible. "Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God." And there the prophet was speaking about those who were walking in darkness and had no light. Everything seemed to be dark. They just couldn't seem to discern where the Lord was in all of their circumstances and in their situation at all. What are they to do? They're to trust in the Lord and they're to stay upon their God. And that's this word here, rest. We rest on thee, or we lean on thee, or we stay ourselves upon thee. Let's think about it in another way, both in the negative and in the positive. You see, it has this idea of staying or relying. And again, it's a verse that you will recognize, Proverbs 3, verse 5. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding." That word lean not, is the same word, rest or stay. So there we are warned, don't be staying upon ourselves, don't be staying on our own understanding, don't be relying on our ability and our ingenuity. That's not how we're going to get through this year. No, we are warned there in Proverbs 3 and 5. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Don't trust self. Never say, I can get through this without the Lord. I don't need to pray. I don't need to cry unto God passionately. I can get through this myself. We are warned again here in Proverbs 5. Lean not unto thine own understanding. And I say that with that second portion of scripture that we have read there in chapter 16 in mind. Because we are not to assume that somehow just because we're a child of God that automatically, oh, we will stay ourselves upon the Lord. Automatically we will rely on the Lord. Automatically we'll not lean on to our own understanding. Because that didn't happen in Asa's life. And if you go over there to chapter 16, and with me it's just across the pages of my Bible, but you might have to turn over a page. But do you notice verse 7? "At that time Hanani the seer came to Asa king of Judah and said unto him, because thou hast relied." That's exactly the same word as rest in our text, just different English words. And I've often said our English translators sought to use as many English words as possible when they translated the scriptures, because they were wanting to do a service to the English language as well. So that's why often the same word in the original language in Hebrew is translated by a number of English words. So this word "relied" is exactly the same as the word "rest." And I've it marked here in my Bible. I just want you to notice how often that word "rely" or "relied" appears in these two verses. "Because thou hast relied on the king of Syria and not and not relied on the Lord thy God. Therefore is the host of the king of Assyria escaped out of thine hand." How much different that circumstance is to chapter 14. In chapter 14 we read about Asa. He's relying on the Lord. He makes this wonderful statement, "We rest on thee, we rely on thee, we stay ourselves on thee." And then within a little time, two chapters, here in the scriptures, and Hanani, the seer, has to come and rebuke him, really. He has to rebuke him, and he says, "You've relied on the king of Syria instead of relying on him." What a rebuke. "You've relied on the king of Syria. You've leaned on to your own understanding instead of relying on the Lord. Therefore, the host of the king of Assyria is escaped out of thy hand." You've missed the opportunity to bring victory to God's country. Look at verse 8. Here he's reminded. were not the Ethiopians, and this is a reference back to chapter 14 in the portion that we are thinking upon, were not the Ethiopians and the Lubims a huge host, with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because thou didst rely, there's the same word again, although it's rest in our text, it's rely here, because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thy hand. So here's Asa on two different occasions in his life, and on one of those occasions he's resting on the Lord, on the other occasion. So therefore, Christian, we are not just to assume, oh, somehow naturally in a Christian's life, oh, we'll rest on the Lord. Sure, that's part and parcel of being a Christian. No, it's not. It's something we must cultivate. We can rely on the Lord in one set of circumstances and rely on our own understanding in the next set of circumstances. We can rely on the Lord to help us and know his help on one occasion, and we can rely on ourselves the next time and we lose out because we're not relying on them. So it is important then that we are those who cultivate this in our lives, that we learn to rely, that we heed those words of Proverbs 3 and 5. Lean not unto thine own. And we all can do it, myself included. We can all lean on our own understanding. We can think, I can get by here myself. It's only a little thing. That's the tendency, you see. Oh, we just need the Lord help for great things. But all of these little, these are just the mundane things of life. Do I really need to pray about the mundane things of life? Can I not just go on in life and think, well, sure, I know what to do in these circumstances. I've faced these circumstances in other times in life. Can I not just go on by myself?
I wonder, was that what Asa thought?
Sure, we have beaten the Ethiopians. We'll soon defeat this host that has come out against us. The Syrians? He leaned on his own understanding. He didn't rely on that. And you know, Christian, somewhere along this year, we could do that even tomorrow. We could even do that tomorrow. Anyone. Oh, we could go out with the best of intentions, and some set of circumstances come up, and we think, I know what to do here. And we never think about committing it to the Lord. We never think about asking the Lord for his help, his direction, his power. And we just think, I can get through here myself. Well, that's when Asa lost out and didn't know that. It is something we need. Turn back to 2 Chronicles 13 and let's go back a generation and think about Asa's father here. Verses 17 and 18. 2 Chronicles 13, verse 17 and 18. And Abijah and his people slew them with a great slaughter. So there fell down slain of Israel 500,000 children. Thus the children of Israel were brought under at that time, and the children of Judah prevailed because they relied. It's exactly the same word again. They relied upon the Lord God of their fathers. The secret is relying on the Lord. And here's examples in these few chapters around us here in 2 Chronicles that's underscoring this point. It's reliance upon the Lord that we need. Asa is right when he says in this prayer, we rest on thee. That's what we need to do. And we need to do it specifically and deliberately in our mind and say, I go out resting on the Lord. Every day, if the Lord spares us to see the light of a new day, we need to go out to do whatever it is we have to do. We need to go out resting on it. Or else, we will end up like Asa on this second day. We need confidence. We need dependence. And may the Lord grant that to us. So he says, we rest on thee. And then he says, in thy name we go. So here he is stepping out now. He's expressed his confidence in God, his dependence upon God. Well, now it's putting put into action. He's going to go in the name of the Lord. He's going to go out like David. When David went out to fight against Goliath, David went out in the name of the Lord. Remember the Philistine Goliath said, I come to thee in the name of the Philistines. David said, I come to thee in the name of the Lord. I'm here not trusting in myself. And David, as we know, was just a slip of a lad, a youth. He was just a youth. And all he had was his sling and his five stones. But David went out with confidence in God. He believed that the Lord was able to help. He went out to face the foe. You see, the Christian can go out to face whatever it is that comes along this year. The Christian can go out to face the foe. There is no need to cower in the corner in that sense. There's one who will help us. It's nothing with the Lord to help us with. The Lord is able to help us. Therefore, Christian, whatever the year has for us, we can go forth to meet in the Lord's need, trusting in the Lord. He will strengthen us. He will see us. Because when we go in his name, we're trusting in it. We're trusting in his purpose. It tells us there about how Asa set the battle in array. If we go back there to verse 10, it says, then Asa went out against them and set the battle in array in the valley of Zephathah and Merisha. So Asa has gone out to set the battle in array. He's gone out to contend with the enemy. He's looking for the Lord to help. He's expecting the Lord. He's going in the Lord's name. And if we go in the Lord's name, we will not be disappointed. Asa wasn't disappointed. Because after verse 11, having prayed and uttered these words to the God of heaven, verse 12 says, so the Lord smote. It had to come to pass because he had prayed. And he's gone out not trusting in himself, but trusting in the Lord. And the Lord smites the host that's set against him. And what is very interesting here, I think, is that as a result, Asa and Judah took the spoils. You see, it was the Lord that did the smiting. It was Asa and the people of Judah that reaped the spoil. And the Lord is pleased to do that. That's how it is in salvation. It's the Lord who has smote the great enemy of our souls, the devil. It is the Lord who has dealt with sin and set us free from the captivity and power and dominion of sin. The Lord has done the smiting. And he leaves us to enjoy the spoils of it. And that's what the Lord has done here with Asa here. He does the smiting. And verse 12, it tells us there how the Lord smote them. And the people, there was the human instrument. The people went out and pursued after them and overthrew them. But if you come down, verse 13, 14 and 15, there's the emphasis there about carrying away the spoil. Look at the end of verse 13. And they carried, well, maybe we should take that whole phrase, for they were destroyed before the Lord, before his host. There's the Lord doing the smiting. And they carried away very much spoil. And it's repeated there in the next two verses and filling out the details a little more. But that principle is established there. The Lord does the smiting, his people enjoy the spoils. Well, it's not what we need the Lord to do. We need the Lord to do the smiting, and we need to enjoy the spoils of the victory. And so it is for those that trust in it. Because as we've noticed, there was a time when Asa didn't, and he didn't have any spoils at all to take. Over there in chapter 16, he was told the Syrians have escaped out of your hand because you didn't rely on the Lord. He didn't rely on the Lord. Therefore, they've escaped out of your hand. There's no spoils. There's only spoils when the Lord does the smiting. And that's why we need to go in the name. I'll just briefly mention chapter 16 there, verse 9. How the eyes of the Lord run to and fro through. Because that's what Asa is reminded of here. When he was told you should have relied on the Lord. Because here's what you missed out on. You missed out on the Lord's help. His eyes run to and fro through the whole earth. To show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect. Herein thou hast done foolishly. Therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars. Asa, you've lost out because you haven't trusted the Lord. You haven't relied on the Lord. And may we not miss out, Christian, this year because we're not relying on the Lord. But may we rely on the Lord, and then may we enjoy the spoils, the blessings that the Lord brings. Could you turn over to Psalm 20? I've already quoted this psalm, but I want you to finish off this morning just one verse in this psalm. I mentioned there verses 1 and 2 when we spoke about Asa and his praying. And said, the Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. Send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. Well, I want to finish off with verse 7 of this psalm. It says, some trust in chariots and some on horses. Well, isn't that exactly what we've been reading about with the enemy that came out against Asa? Zerah and the host of the Ethiopians had over 1 million chariots. So some trust in chariots and some in horses. But we will remember the name. We will remember the name of the Lord. And may we remember the Lord's name this year. In the sense that each and every day we go out trusting and depending on, knowing the Lord is able to overcome. And as a result of his overcoming, he's able to bring to us the blessings and the benefit. May the Lord grant that to us today. Let's bow together and pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy word, and we pray that thou will indeed bless it to us. Make it a special portion of Scripture this year to us. And may we have often cause to come back to these words. We rest on thee, and in thy name we go. Lord, write them upon our hearts, we pray. And the truths that we have been thinking about, we pray that they would come often to our mind. And may thy word be indeed a benefit, a succor to our souls, even today and in coming days. Grant it to be so. Oh, may we indeed be trusting in the Lord. Lord, underscore in our mind, write it upon our hearts afresh, the importance, the benefits that come relying on the Lord. And may, as we have considered Asa, may we learn those lessons afresh. May we, by thy grace, rely on thee. Part us with thy fear and favour now, and be with us, we pray. We ask in Jesus' name.